News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. If you have a question for Rick, give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. Rick, we made it to the August long weekend.
Yep, here we are. It's still hot.
Yes.
It's unbelievable that this temperature doesn't want to stop, and we don't seem to get much rain. So, the topic constantly is watering your plants and how much to water. It seems like it's over and over again.
Yep.
So, but it's, hopefully now everybody's, learned how to water their gardens and learned how to stick their finger in the soil or the piece of rebar in the soil from the shows listening over and over again. I think they all know that now, I hope.
Yeah. Well, and I think everybody's kind of shifting from scheduled watering to getting the idea that maybe we need to try a few different things to keep up this summer.
Yeah, just keep up. And now probably a good idea if you have big trees, just make sure you do that deep watering now, because now's the time to really for the trees to take that good drink before we get into fall when they're starting to shut down. You don't want to be doing that in September, so we're at the beginning of August, so now's a good time to use that Ross root feeder, that deep root feeder, or put the hose out there just on a dribble around the drip line of the tree and give those great big trees a good drink, because those big trees, they transpire just like we do in the hot heat. And there's a lot of roots, so you really notice it. Aaron, when you're driving around town, you can see the grass is drier around the trees because those trees are just sucking up every bit of moisture.
Trying to get whatever they can.
So even the grass is struggling around the bottom of those trees, and that's just because, they're fighting for that last bit of moisture, so we can help them out by just give them a good deep soak, okay? Not just a little, not just watering your lawn around those trees. Everybody says, I water my lawn, two or three times a week. Well, you get a 30-foot spruce tree or, a big 50-foot maple tree, watering the lawn is not enough for those trees. So you need to give them a good soak. Even putting if you have a soaker hose, turn it upside down and just put it around the whole drip line of the tree and just turn it on slow and then just let it drip there for, 3 or 4 hours. Just let it. So you don't want to go so that the water's running down the street or anything. You just want to get a good deep soak, and if you get a good really deep soak, you only have to do that once a month really for the big trees. As long as you get the farmers all talk about a good subsoil moisture to hold their crop for the season, right? And that's no different than the trees. If you just do the top, the grass and the trees, they're just competing too much, and you just want to get a good soak.
For sure. And with temperatures, looks like in the 30s for most of the week, probably a good time to do it.
Absolutely.
We have a couple people waiting on the line for us, so we'll dive right in. We'll start off with Paul in Saskatoon. Good morning, Paul. What's your question for Rick today?
Well, I have a couple quick questions, if I could, please. This is year two of my potatoes. I'm not getting any flowers on them. Like last year, they didn't flower, and I had a huge crop. And again, this year, no flowering. And they're going yellow now. And I'm testing them to make sure, watering, just like what you said, put your finger in. If it's dry, give them water. And I did a little digging, and there's lots of potatoes in there, but no flowering. What's going on with that?
Well, that's interesting. Did you change varieties or anything of potato?
Yeah.
So it might be just the type of variety you have, that you just have the type of potato just has a smaller inconsistent, you can't really see it, it's hidden.
Yeah.
And some potatoes have a big flower and some potatoes have a little tiny flower. So it might be just that when you change potatoes that you just don't see the variety you have. So so that could be the reason right there. And so if you, as long as you're getting harvest, don't worry about it.
Okay. My second question is, I have a Red Delicious apple tree loaded with little apples. Do I start cutting some of these off and maybe I'll get larger apples on this? Because we're getting into August here.
If you want to thin them out, now's a great time to do that. So you get, so the tree, especially with the heat we've been getting, just so there's not so much competition, and you will get larger apples if you just, you call some of them You don't have to call that much. Just, you know, especially mainly if you get some clusters, just take a scissor out there and just thin some of those clusters out, right?
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to thin whole clusters out, but just thin the amount that are in a cluster, and then you'll get bigger apples.
Okay, yeah, because the only fertilizers that I use is fish fertilizer, and I use the tea.
Perfect.
And yeah, that's what I'm looking after them with.
And that's all they need. If you're getting lots of apples, they're liking it. So they're now it's just a matter of you know culling some of them so that you just get a few bigger apples. That's what you want.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go to Willow Bunch with Doreen. Good morning. What's your question for Rick today?
Okay, I have some gray fox willow bushes on the north side of our house. They're in an area where there's red rock, and the bottom leaves, but it's slowly working its way up, are turning more of an olive kind of a green with almost a hint of copper or rust color in them, and I'm wondering what's happening and if perhaps I'm overwatering.
Okay, there's two things that they can get. One is just it's a fungal, and that could be, but one thing you have to watch for, you have basically a blue fox willow, right?
Yes.
And so the blue fox willows, if you watch, sometimes some branches will start dying, okay? And that means you have a willow bore. And they go right at the base of the trunk, and they drill into the hole, and then they're right in the core of the trunk. And then that cuts off all the sap to the tree up top. And then you might be having also the start of where the actual willow is starting to die. Okay?
Well, I've had borer worms for 25 years, and I try to deal with it every year.
Yep.
But usually I have the problem with them in the spring till about mid-June, and then I literally just cut the branches off that they've bore into, because I can usually see because it's like a sawdust.
Yeah.
And I cut those branches off and throw them out.
Perfect.
Dispose
Perfect.
Of them. So I don't really have any dead branches.
Okay. Yeah, then you just have it's a bit of a fungal now, so that you, if you want, you can just spray a product called Bordeaux or a copper spray.
Okay.
And if it's not going through the whole plant around the base, you probably just have to spray it once, and that'll clear it up.
Okay.
Okay. If it doesn't clear it up, spray it again in about 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I have some of that copper spray, so I'll do that then.
That'll work perfect.
So it's a fungus.
It sounds like the way you explained it, the color is different coloring. I think you just have a fungal.
Okay.
It has to do with the humidity we've been having, you know, with the heat.
Okay.
But you can clear it up very easily.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your questions on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980. Good morning and happy August long weekend. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Rick, we've had someone waiting patiently for us on the phone line here, so we won't make them wait too much longer. This is Preston in Saskatoon. Good morning. What's your question for Rick today?
Rick, I've been running raised flower beds, in particular fabric pots filled with sunshine mix, and I've been growing tomatoes in them. Now, I'm talking 15-gallon times 30 pots. I'm wondering, can I reuse this soil every year? Do I have to try and throw some different vegetables in there, or can I just reuse this for tomatoes since I'm being clogged with salt?
Well, what I suggest you do is that the top, basically 6 to 8 inches, I would always renew. It's so full of roots and everything else, but you can use that soil for the bottom of another pot if you want, okay? And so as a filler type of thing, and so you can do that. But I would suggest that top 6 to 8 inches where your roots, from especially your vegetables, are going to grow in. The plants I find just do way better when I just remove that top little bit and put fresh stuff in every year. You'll have better results.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate your time.
Yep.
All right. We have a couple of texts that are waiting for us here that we can kind of go through. But if you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. Over to the text line, we have one from Ken in Regina. It's on Tiger Lily. After blossoms have fallen off, when can you transplant the bulb?
Once that leaf has turned basically brown. So you want all the energy is in the leaves, and the leaves are still creating energy for to re-energize the bulb for next year. So it's still putting food, and so right up until that stem turns brown, then you can move them. And usually that's around the first week of September. You can start moving your lily bulbs around. Not a problem.
Okay, we have another lily question. This one is coming from Faye in Saskatoon. I have these little red bugs eating small holes in my lily petals and leaves. They don't seem to be bothering my daylilies. What can I do?
Yeah, they're just orange or red, the lily beetle, and you need to keep on top of that because they'll just keep spreading and spreading and taking just not your daylilies, but they just go after the hybrid lilies.
Oh, okay.
So you need to spray them about every 10 days, and you want to spray especially the backside of the leaves. And what you can do, you can watch too, on the backside of the leaves, you'll see a little cluster of orange eggs, and you can actually pick those off as well if you see them, and then destroy them. So that's important. But if you don't get rid of them, they'll go into the soil and they'll just come back every year worse and worse and worse. So you need to keep on top of them. Using things like Endol you can use, or Ambush. And I just don't like spraying the flowers, but the flowers are done pretty much right now.
Yeah.
So now but make sure you get the backside of the leaves when you're spraying. That's important.
And we were talking a little bit off air before the show started here, just about bugs coming in, like people talking a lot about bugs and different things that they're seeing in their gardens. What are you seeing come into the garden center?
Oh, seeing a lot of, like we talked before, the willow borer,
yep.
The aspen borers, that we've been seeing a lot of that, and to treat those, just make sure, number one is if you keep your plant healthy. So don't go under stress, whether water stress or nutrient stress or whatever. The borers are attracted to plants that are weak. The plants actually send out a bit of a pheromone that attracts them when they're stressed. So as long as you keep the plants not stressed, you'll have less chance of having a borer. Okay, that's huge.
Okay.
So that's the one. That's number one. The other one I'm getting lots of calls about is people who have maple trees and that they're finding all their sidewalk and their cars or their furniture all sticky.
Yes.
And right now they're right full of. I just looked at one here the other day, and it's full of aphids and it's full of spider mite. And those plants, and in fact the wasps are all hanging around them right too, because those wasps are eating the aphids, but they're also collecting the sap that these aphids and spider mite are excreting. And so if you keep them clean of the aphids, that's the big one, is that you won't have so much sap dripping. But so that's another big one. And also now beginning also is people are saying, normally every so many years we get the tent caterpillars in the spring going after the choke cherries and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now we're getting it's a different tent caterpillar, but a webworm that are causing these tents in apple trees, especially.
Okay.
And so I'm getting lots of calls for that, and that's an easy one to get rid of. If you see the tents really small, just put a pair of gloves on, and just squish them.
Okay.
You know? And then no chemical involved, otherwise you can use a product called BTK. So BTK is Bob, Tom, Ken. Okay, BTK. Is a biological, so you spray it on the leaves. It doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect humans or other insects or anything else. It only affects caterpillars, and it's a bacteria that gets into their, once they ingest it by eating the leaf, it basically gives them a big tummy ache, and then they quit eating, and then they die. And so so that works really good for any kind of caterpillar at all, but it only goes after caterpillars.
Okay.
It doesn't affect beetles, it doesn't affect bees, it doesn't affect anything, just caterpillars.
Pretty targeted approach.
Pretty targeted approach, and so that works really well to go after that. And then another one we've been getting is people who have any kind of vine, whether it be grapevine or Virginia creeper or clematis, and they're getting the leaf hoppers. You see these little, they look like little white type of flies, and as soon as you go close to them, they start jumping from leaf to leaf.
Yep.
So the best way to get rid of those is you spray in the evening when it's dusk, because then those bugs will just settle in and they won't be jumping around so much. And you need to use a hose end sprayer, because you just can't use a mister, because the bugs are on the backside of the leaves hiding in the mucks. You got to use a hose end sprayer. We can actually blast water right into the canopy of your vines, and you used ambush with that, and it affects the nervous system, and it's safe for humans as well. So that's a good one to use. And if you do that twice, once, and then again in 10 days' time, then you'll pretty much clean them up.
Should be good to go. Yep. We have a couple more texts that we can probably get to here before our news break. This one is coming from Bobby. My Reaper peppers have lots of blooms, but no peppers.
Lots of blooms. That means they're not getting pollinated. So you've got to be the bee, okay?
Grab a Q-tip.
with this heat, I'm hearing that quite often. And so just have to, grab the Q-tip and cross from different plants and also different flowers, cross back and forth. You're going to hit each flower multiple times crossing, and then you'll get your peppers.
Okay, this one's related to it. It's from Martha in Martinsville. Can you explain why our zucchini and squash are not bearing fruit? The plants themselves seem healthy, lots of blooms. We've even seen a few bees at work, but only one squash so far. Could that just be a pollination issue too?
Yeah, that is definitely a pollination issue again. So same thing again. We've got to be, just like the last one, we've got to be the bee. And you're with this heat, we're seeing that a lot of people are having issues with pollination with the bees, with the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might have a spot where you've got only a few bees, but a few bees is sometimes not enough because they have to go back and forth a lot, right?
Yeah.
So that's all you have to do, the same thing, and then you'll get your squash. And you've got lots of time to get, if you pollinate, you've got lots of time to get squash. They grow really quickly.
It's one of those ones, too, where I think, if I saw some bees around, I'd think, oh, yeah, it's probably fine. But, yeah, they might need a little extra help.
Yeah, need a little extra help because there's some bees are more efficient than, like, leaf cutter bees.
Mm-hmm.
And the honey bees are more efficient than, let's say, just a wasp or, other types of flies and that kind of stuff. There's certain bees that are more efficient at pollinating and do a better job of pollinating. So you might not have those type of bees in your area.
All right. We have one from Jason in Merrifield. Just wondering, when is the best time to trim back our cotton Easter hedge?
Well, if you're doing light trimming, you can do that all through the summertime. So you can just shape it and everything else. It doesn't matter when you do it. But if you want to do a major pruning, do it after the leaves have turned red in the fall, or otherwise do it first thing in the spring before the leaves even come on. So if you want to trim it right down to like 2 feet off the ground, if it's 8 feet tall and you want to bring it down, or you want to 8 feet tall and you want to bring it down in half, the best to do that when the plant is dormant. But if you're just doing a shaping, just a minor pruning, you can do that any time during the summer.
Perfect. So maybe something to add to the to-do list if you're going to be going a little dramatic with it, but otherwise you're good to go anytime.
Yeah, perfect. Just if you like to go out there in the heat, otherwise just do it early in the morning or the evening when it's not quite so hot.
Mm-hmm.
and then just make sure that you give that plant some right now, give it a watering, and we're at the very beginning of August for the shrubs. You can give them one last little fertilizer right now. Being for shrubs, trees, I'm pretty much done fertilizing for the year, but the shrubs, I can give it one last fertilizing, and then you'll get some growth to make it fill out nice again.
Perfect. If you have questions for Rick, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We're going to take a quick break for news, and then we'll be back with more Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. If you have a question for Rick, we'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. Looks like we're in for another hot few days here, Rick. So we've been talking a little bit through the show about making sure you're giving your plants the right amount of moisture. Throughout the summer, it's been quite the challenge for people. What are some of the top tips and tricks to make sure you're not overwatering?
Yeah, just monitoring your soil. That's the big one. Just don't go on a schedule. Like I always talked about, it's just, sticking your finger or piece of rebar, or if you have a moisture meter, you can use that. anything to learn your soil. And I think by now a lot of people have learned their soil a little bit. And,
yep.
So they'll know exactly. Now they can almost go to a schedule, basically, and because the weather's been so consistent, just hot.
Yeah, it's just really hot all the time.
So, you know, we haven't had, you know, days of cloudiness and sunny and rainy, and it's been all consistent, just hot. So now we should have learned our garden by now, and so you'll just, it's just huge, because even, like, we're talking about, had a few calls about, you know, little fungals happening on the plants, and that's because we're watering, and then you get the heat, and then you get, at nighttime, you get the humidity, and that's perfect conditions for a lot of fungals to happen. So that's why it's so important, even the time of day, to watch when you're watering. And so that's the big one. And but right now, like I said, what's very important is for all these big trees, because right now, especially for big spruce trees, the spider mites love it when it's hot. They reproduce like crazy. And so you see all those needles dropping on the inside. Well, as long as the tree has good moisture, they can resist a lot of those spider mites from sucking all the moisture out of the needle. If the plant can replace it, so just making sure that you have the moisture there. And same thing, it's real hard. You have out in the farm, you have all these windbreak rows and everything else. Well, if you end up having these big, you know, your big trucks with the big water tanks you use for hauling water for spraying, if you can go out there and give them just one good watering with your big water truck, that's enough to sustain them so that they don't get weakened and get things like needle cast disease and things like that. So it's important. I mean, you've grown those trees for, you know,
years.
It's sometimes generations through the farm, you know. And you just don't want to have one bad or two bad years to be able to lose a lot of those plants or put them in stress mode that you can lose them through another things like needle cast disease. So keeping them healthy with that water tank is huge.
We have a couple of calls coming in now. We'll start off with Tom in Choiceland. Good morning, Tom. What's your question for Rick today?
Well, I know I was talking to him before about the cabbage or whatever, so he figures is it that TDK or whatever you were just talking about spray on there?
Yeah, BTK is safe to use on your cabbage for cabbage worms. That's about the only thing that I will actually tell people to use, because there's no other stuff you can basically use on them. So BTK it's part of the caterpillar family, and you can use that, and it only affects the that cabbage worm. The only thing you can do is use a crop cover over top of them, because you're trying to stop that little white butterfly, that little moth, right?
Yeah, they're flying all over.
Yeah, so you can use a crop cover over top of two to make sure that they don't land on and lay eggs on top of your cabbages too. So that's one preventive way you can do it as well.
Yeah, and another question I was asking, I think I asked you before maybe about it, about how to keep the maggots out of your onions.
Yeah, that one there, the best way to do that is as soon as you plant your onions in the spring, put them in a different location. They did this last year. Okay, next year, put them in a different location. And then put the crop cover over top of your plant, your onion patch. And then put little sticks or little wires to hold the crop cover off the ground a bit. And wait until, because as soon as the onions pop out of the ground, that's when the fly from the onion maggot is just hanging around something yellow. And what's yellow in the spring is dandelions. So if you can put them on until the dandelions are done their flowering, what will happen then is those usually onion maggot flies will just take off and go somewhere else to lay their eggs. And if you can get past that point, then you won't have them for the whole summer. So that is the best way to get it, because you don't know when to spray. That's the problem.
It's is that the same worms that affect the radishes?
It's actually a different fly for the radishes, but you can do the same thing with the radishes. If you can get past that first time, that first 2 or 3 weeks, when they first pop out, the leaves pop out of the ground, you'll miss that cycle of the fly. It'll go somewhere else, hopefully to your neighbor's place, right? But then not yours.
That's where they're coming from.
Yeah, they may be coming from the neighbor's place, but yeah, you want them to move on to the next place. So that is using the crop cover is bottom line is about the only way you're going to solve that problem.
Well, what about what you talked? I heard you mention before on your show about that grub
the nematodes.
The nematodes work good, but I find that with those ones there, but by the time you're putting the nematodes down, the worm already found its way into the radish itself, right? So a lot of times it's too late. They've already done the damage. So that's why I want to put the crop cover on, so I don't get the damage to begin with. So otherwise, you can put the nematode in fairly shortly after when the leaves just first pop out of the ground. Then you can put the nematodes on as well, and that'll also help protect them as well. But honestly, that crop cover is very simple to do. You can use it year after year after year. You can even use it to finish off your crop for things like your pumpkins and your watermelon and things that you want, cucumbers that you want to, you know, extend the season into September by keeping a little bit warmer at nighttime. That crop cover you can use for a lot of lot of different uses.
Yeah, but the only problem is I'm disabled and my mom's just about disabled. So, like, we're trying to look at the simplest way.
Yep. Well, then, try this. One way is a nematode, or otherwise, get somebody to help you to put those crop covers off and take them off again in about 3 weeks' time after they popped out of the ground.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate your show. It's a really good show.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to Brian now. Good morning, Brian. What's your question for Rick?
Good morning. I'm in charge of a small town, and I'm supposed to make it look better. So I've got to, like, trim the trees and the bushes and everything around. And I'm wondering if it's okay to do it now or if I need to wait. And it's also to, like, take off bigger branches. Like, there's places where I got to cut grass. And to get out closer to the tree, I need to cut some branches off a little bit higher.
Yeah, that's not a problem right now at all. Actually, it's a great time to prune a lot of maples, birches, all those kind of things, elms, maples, ash. You can prune all of them right now. Not a problem at all.
Okay, and what about, like, bushes, like lilacs and stuff like that?
Yeah, the only thing with lilacs you got to watch for is if you give them a major pruning right now, it won't hurt the plant, but you won't get as many blooms next year, okay?
Oh, okay, all right.
And so, but it won't hurt the plant, but that's, you know, I like doing a light pruning right after they finish blooming.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you want to do other pruning, you know, because then they put new growth on after that, and then they'll bloom that next year.
Okay.
If you want to do a major pruning, I like doing that when that lilac is dormant, but then you lose a year of flowers, right? Like if you want to trim a 12-foot lilac down to 6 feet or something like that, right? And then I'll do it when it's dormant.
Okay.
But other than that, all your little dogwoods and your potentillas and all that, all your little shrubs around your town, you can trim them now. It's not a problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your questions on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. And we have a lot of texts starting to come in, but if you have a question, you can always give us a call too. It's all the same phone number, 1-877-332-8255. So I guess we'll just dive into the text line and see what we have here. This one is from Renata in Momart. I need some tips for petunias in hanging baskets. Mine seem to be doing well until now. My standing pots look beautiful. I fertilize, but there is not much happening with the baskets. Tips for any summer blooms and growth.
Yeah, number one is because it's so hot, you're watering lots. So you have to add, actually, you're leaching the nutrients, like especially nitrogen. Not so much you don't leach a lot of the phosphorus out of the pot, but nitrogen will follow the water right to the bottom of the pot because usually you water the pot so the water comes out the bottom, so you know that, especially in a hanging basket, or even your patio pot and that kind of stuff. So just make sure that you can almost go to a constant feed if you want.
Okay.
As long as you're doing a flush with water about every fourth or fifth watering, that you just use straight water, so you actually flush some of the salts out, okay? Because otherwise you can get a salt damage if you use continuous. But if you use continuous fertilizing, we have that in the greenhouse as well, you don't go to full strength.
Okay.
Go to half strength. And then your plants will do a lot better, especially when you're watering so much. Yeah, but go to half strength. and then make sure that every fifth or so watering that you're just using straight water with no fertilizer, just to give a good flush of that salt out of the pot.
Just give it a little extra boost.
Yep.
We have a question about cucumbers. I have Cool Breeze cucumber plants. I've harvested a couple so far, but now I'm finding the small cucumbers that are starting to grow are turning yellow. Is this a pollination problem?
If they're turning yellow, it's, you said the leaves are turning yellow? Is that right?
It sounds like the small cucumbers themselves are starting to turn yellow.
Are turning yellow. The cucumbers themselves are turning yellow. That could be a lot of times it's either a nutrient issue.
Okay.
Or it's your also could be a watering issue too. So, you know, they're again inconsistent watering. So, and also just make sure that, you know, so the cucumbers also, a lot of times you'll get a whole bunch of leaves and they won't get any sunlight either. So you'll see some different coloring if they don't not getting the sunlight. I don't like them to get the full hot sun.
Yeah.
So you don't want to take them exposing completely from the sun. Those leaves are also protecting the vegetable as well. So so don't trim all the leaves away. But you know, if it's really really thick, you might want to just trim a one leaf or half a leaf out of that thing so that you get a little bit of light in there, but not just to help to ripen it better as well.
Okay. This one is, I have sprayed the leaf hoppers 3 times with Ambush, and I think there are 20 times as many now. Do you have any suggestions? And they say they were using a hose end sprayer.
Yeah, and as long as they're doing it in the evening when they've settled in.
Okay.
If they do it in the daytime, a lot of times they'll spray off, and Ambush is a contact mainly, and so you're not hitting them. They're just flying off and sitting back up in the air laughing at you and then coming back afterwards. So you got to do it in the later in the evening when right about dusk.
Okay.
When they'll just settle in and they won't fly off on you.
Okay. So maybe just a bit later in the day, and hopefully that'll help.
Yeah. And also you get things like bees aren't around. Other insects that you do want are not around as well.
Okay. This one is, can a straight 8 cucumber have only male flowers? Plant is in a pot, so I have only one. Many flowers and always see many bees on it, but no fruit set, nor do I see any potential female flowers.
Yeah, that's why when you plant your cucumbers, I like planting, you know, like if I put a seed in the ground, I'll put 2 or 3 seeds in a hill.
Okay.
Right? And then that way you'll get the better cross-pollinization as well. This will do better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if it's just one single plant, sometimes you can get that. You won't get good cross-pollinization. You won't get a great crop. So just plant next year, plant 2 plants in the same pot. You'll be fine. The plants will do fine, and you'll find you'll get better fruiting.
Okay. This one is, I have leaves, or the leaves on my delphinium on the east side of my house are starting to turn brown, and all the combine have gone yellow, while all the other flowering pots seem to be really happy. I water pretty much every morning, and also, second question, why are there so many wasps this year?
Yeah, it's just the heat. They love the heat.
Yep.
Wasps, so that's all it is. Just, it's the perfect weather conditions for it. There are a lot of wasps, and right now, because there's a lot of wasps, because there's lots of food, there's a poplar just above the patio that we're at right now, and it's just full of aphids, spider mites. It's just incredible. You can see the sap on the outside of the leaves, and the wasps. There's 2 things: the wasps and the black hornets. That's the ones that look like wasps because they have black striping.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones they're just because there's lots of food they're producing. Like the nest is just huge, getting huge right now. So if there's lots of food, like anything else, they'll just produce more offspring to be able to go collect it. So that's just the reason why. Sorry, what was the first question again?
The leaves on the delphinium on the east side of the house are turning brown.
Yeah.
All the other plants seem to be doing fine, and they water pretty much every morning.
Yeah, no, I just saw my mother-in-law's. I saw the same thing, and I looked at it closely, and it was full of spider mites. And the same reason, at the bottom, yellow or brown at the bottom, and it was just full of spider mites. So just watch for the spider mites. use some Endol or some Endol and give it a good spray or just blast it with cold water. That'll help to dislodge some of those spider mites, or you can even use, if you want to go more of a harder chemical, you can go with Malathion.
Okay.
And but that's what I saw. That there's just tons of spider mite on that delphinium.
All right, we're going to go to Rod in Indian Head quickly before our news break here. Rod, what's your question for Rick today?
Hey, good morning, Rick. My question is this: is my daughter and I went out and got a community garden in town here this year?
Yes.
And I've never gardened ever before. She's done one. We were most excited to harvest watermelon last night.
Yes.
So we got it. We cut it open. And it was white inside.
Yeah.
Where did we go wrong?
Well, also, not quite ready yet.
Oh.
Okay. So the watermelons in Saskatchewan, because of our season,
yep,
they'll finish off about the first week of September. Okay? And
okay,
what you have to do, once the temperatures start dropping down, like I've got 17 pound watermelon before, and that's because I've used a crop cover in the last week of August and in the first week of September. I put the crop cover over it in the evening to help hold,
yeah,
the nighttime heat. They put,
yeah,
most of their weight on in the end of August and the first week of September. That's when they get that's when they finish off the best.
Okay.
And so, but I just need to keep that little bit of heat in, because sometimes some of the nights are getting down like to 5 degrees at that time, right? Beginning of September.
Right.
So yeah, you just need to help keep that heat in, and just using a crop cover over top of them. I find, because a lot of times if I forget to take it off in the morning, it's not a problem, right? If you,
yeah,
throw a sheet on there, then you have to make sure you take it off in the morning again. But a crop cover, which is that white fabric, it'll let, yeah, light through, it'll let water through. And you can get a really nice finish of a watermelon off at the end of August and beginning of September. You just harvested too early.
Oops.
Live and learn.
Appreciate the help very much. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks, Rod.
Yep.
We are going to take a quick break for news, then we'll be back with more Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.